Welcome to another episode, a very special episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni and Sports Culture, where we talk about the intersection of sports and business, but we're also going to be just talking about organizational health and all things related to the world of work. We have a very special guest, really our first guest, because I'm not even joined by Cody. Cody's producing over here, sitting next to the computer, telling me what to do. We've got Justin Forsett here. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to do a very quick introduction of you, because I know you'll be too humble to say it.
Let's do it.
Justin Forsett was an all-pro running back in the NFL. He's shorter than me too, which means he's one tough guy. And we have him on here because he's going to talk about sports and teamwork and culture, but he's also the founder of a startup, a very exciting one, which we want to tell you about. And so we have an opportunity to talk to somebody who's right in the midst of the corporate world, getting funding, running a company, getting ready to grow it. And you have a wonderful opportunity to share with us how this relates to football and to sports, what's different, what's harder, what's easier, and all that kind of stuff. You ready to do that, Justin?
I'm excited. Let's do it.
All righty. Very good. Let's first tell them a little bit about what you played on seven different teams in the NFL.
Yes. Seven teams, 9 years.
Seven teams in 9 years. That's great. What a business. Huh? Yes. Can you imagine if in the corporate world you could trade people?
Yes.
We traded our head of sales to Microsoft for their head of marketing.
Yes.
That's how it works.
It's crazy.
And you were an all-pro for the Baltimore Ravens. And so how different did the teams vary in terms of their culture and how they worked together and how they managed and dealt with things? Were they all pretty much the same, or were there big differences?
Huge differences.
Like, tell us about that.
So the best team I've been on would be the Baltimore Ravens.
It's known. Ozzie Newsome was a great general manager. John Harbaugh is a great coach.
Just right off the get-go, the culture, the standard that is set there, like you're not going in there and you're influencing that culture and standard. Like you're adjusting. You're coming in and you're going to be a part of this thing. If you're not going to be a part of it, you're going to be out. It's not going to work. But they're first class organization. They take care of the players, just kind of make it easy just to focus on your job alone. And for me, you know, I got there year seven of my career. It was just a relief because I've been on some very bad teams, and it wasn't that way where they treated you more of a product than actually a man.
Right. Tell us about those teams. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah. I don't make you out of those teams. But tell us, so now let's contrast that. Don't tell us which teams. Uh-huh. So what does a bad one look like? Because it's great to tell people about Southwest Airlines.
Right.
But it's also great to say, well, here's what it's like to work at an airline that's not so good. So what was the difference? Tell us about that.
Man, just feeling like a product, not like a human, like a man, like they had, you know, other passions or desires, or man that had family ties or obligations.
They like, just weren't interested
they
in
just
you that
wanted
way.
You to work, and that was it. You were just another number in the system. And then they treated you that way. You didn't get any, like, you know, it wasn't first class like Baltimore. Like, you had to come out of pocket for a lot of things. A lot of individuals on the team, there wasn't a standard of excellence that was set that was in Baltimore. Like, everyone just kind of everybody was supposed to be a pro, so you just figure it out on your own. And we all get together on Sunday, and we try to make this thing work. But a true team, a true organization, like there's that chemistry that is built throughout, you know, those moments of adversity during training camp. What we have as football players, those moments during practice, like we come together, and like when Baltimore, we would go to the movies together. We would have dinners, team dinners, or position group dinners. Like, so the running backs, I was a running back, so we would all go to dinner like on a Friday night. We'd hang out, me and my fullback, we would drive to the hotel together and talk about the game and talk about life.
Isn't it amazing that some teams do that, some companies do that, and the ones that don't, why don't they look at that and say, why don't we do that too?
Yeah. I think, for one, it's easy to kind of try to manufacture that, like try to say, okay, I just want you to do this, but it has to be developed from within.
Yeah.
To be authentic. So, because the coach can say, you guys get together. But if there isn't someone that's going to take the initiative on the team, someone, that leader that's going to say, hey, guys, this is important. This is what we're going to do. We're going to try to build that chemistry off the field. Then it's not going to work. So this is going to be just fake and inauthentic, and it won't last.
You know, I tell this story a lot. I was friends of an NFL coach and a great guy, mm-hmm. but definitely an old school coach. And he was a good coach, but his team's, they really didn't ever have that kind of passion you're talking about. Right. And at one point they traded for a very famous, now Hall of Fame player who was very young. And I said, are you going to have him over for dinner and get to know this guy? And the coach said, no, it's a business, Pat. That's not how we do things.
Yeah.
And then you look at all these other teams. I mean, like, look at the San Antonio Spurs. You'd think every other team in the NBA would go, we should do that like them.
Yeah. And I think an ego has a lot to do with that, too. Because,
tell me about that.
Because when you get in this profession, like, everybody wants to be the best. Everybody wants to be known for, like, I am the one created this culture. I'm right. the one that started this culture, the standard.
Yeah.
You don't want to look at a team and say, like, oh, I want to just copy that. Like, because you're not right. making your mark. You know, you want to be, you want somebody to say, oh, I want to be like your team. Like, you want to be the Spurs. Like,
right.
shouldn't we look at us? I want people to look at us and say, I want to do what they're doing.
Got you know? It.
So
got it.
I think that ego is there where you're like, man, I'm not too interested in trying to copy somebody else. I want to establish my own identity.
I think that's true in business too, because Southwest Airlines, I mean, all you have to do is fly them to understand what they do. And people have written books about them. They don't hide it. They'll tell you. Yeah. I'm sure their competitors could go, can you give us a tour of your facility and tell us how you do it? They'd probably say, we'd love to.
Yeah.
And yet they just, you're right. There's probably that pride that says, no, we got to do it our way.
And then it's hard. Like, yeah. it's not easy
right.
to do it. Like, there's some, like, work. There's consistency. There's discipline. There's some uncomfortableness that's going to take place. And not everybody is willing to pay that price.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. How much of it is the character of the leaders? I mean, you think about Ozzie Newsome. Mm-hmm. You think about John Harbaugh. Are these, like, short-term guys that are looking for a quick fix? Or were they in it for the long haul?
No, these guys are in it for the long haul. And I love the Ravens. I love Ozzie and Harbaugh. I think they're great leaders. But the one that really stuck out to me the most during my tenure in the NFL was Tony Dungy.
Oh, the guy's amazing.
I mean,
I had a chance to meet him just once. And just in a short encounter.
Yes.
The most humble guy you ever met.
Impactful. As soon as you encounter him, like, you walk away just a little bit different. And he was a guy that cared about his players, that was transparent, that was vulnerable. He cried in front of us. He poured his heart out to us. Like, and he didn't have to yell at us. He didn't have to cuss right. at us day in and day out. Like, that was some other people's strategy. Some of it works. Like, someone like, you know, like a Bill Belichick or yeah. Mike Holmgren, who I played for. That was an old school route, and that works, you know, for some people. But it's just something that you get out of a player that's just more when you're just coming at them like, man, you're a person, I'm a person, and it's authentic. I wanna build you up as a man, not just the player, but the man. And a guy or employee, you'll run through a wall for a guy or a leader like that. And right. he was one of those guys.
And in your case, you did have to run through walls.
Yeah, exactly.
Lots of walls. And does that translate to the field? Like, did you play harder and prepare harder and want to win more for the teams that treated you that way?
Everybody wants to win and play hard because that's your livelihood. It's a paycheck right. at our profession. But when you have a guy that cares for you, you don't want him taking any scrutiny from anybody.
It's, wow.
You take that as disrespect as a player. Like, when somebody's coming at your coach, they want to dog him out and the media criticize him and his style. It's like, no, that's our guy. This is family. This is a brotherhood.
That's amazing. It's just such a great thing because it makes sense. And yet, even in business, people are like, come on, that's too hard. Give us something short. Give us something else yeah. we can do. And there's just no shortcuts to that. I want to ask you a question now. This is not going to be just about this, but what's it like being a professional football player? I mean, like, because most kids grow up playing sports and they think, oh gosh, if I could only be that. And then you see the games and when they score a touchdown, and I love you had your touchdown thing. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
But what's the day-to-day like of that?
It's tough. I mean, in our profession, in football, is kind of different than any other sport. We have a limited amount of games, 16-game regular season.
Right.
90% of our profession is preparation.
Yeah.
It's training camp. It's practices. And we play one game on Sunday, you know, 16 weeks out of the year. But you have, you know, 6 or 7 months where you're just preparing for those moments. And it's tough just, you know, waking up early in the morning, take care of your body. We take a beating out there. I remember some weeks during out, you know, my time, playing a game on Sunday, not feeling right until Sunday morning, the next Sunday
wow.
morning, getting ready for a game. So it's just a lot of work, watching tape, repetitiveness, going over the same things over and over
again. So there's a grind there.
Oh, it's definitely a grind.
Yeah, people watch professional athletes and think, oh, how fun would that be? But yeah. it's a hard job.
And we're just talking about that on the field, let alone the stuff outside with your family, like people reaching out, trying to, you know, dig into your pockets and like asking for favors and things like that. So
right.
having to be the bad guy sometime. And, you know, it's just.
What was it like leaving? Like, what was the difference? So tell me about, you have four kids.
Yes.
6, 4, 2, and 7, 7 weeks.
Yes.
That's awesome. So tell me what the transition leaving that is. Independent, we'll get into your job. Like, what's that like when you stop? I mean, everybody thinks about retiring, but how old were you when you retired?
So I was 31.
Right.
When I retired.
So what's that like?
So for me, I think it was a little bit different because I kind of knew what I wanted to do before I stopped playing football, and I was doing it while I was playing football. So I was doing it. I was an entrepreneur. I was speaking around the country. So for me, it was a transition going from one crazy world to the next crazy world, being an entrepreneur and doing my own thing. Now I'm responsible for setting my schedule, where my whole life, my schedule has been given to me.
Right.
So I have to prioritize and kind of set itineraries for my day, which was difficult my first year because, you know, I just had my third child, my little girl at the time. And we were just built a home in Dallas, and it was just crazy, me traveling almost every week, and my wife is just at home in a new place, and you know, it was just hectic. I didn't invest enough time in my family and prioritize my family that first year, which was difficult. I was busy, I was working, I was getting paid
right. It's
outside
tough.
Of football, but the family was suffering.
Right. Well, it's great that you figured that out soon, and that we all have to go through that. It's better to say that now than when you're 81.
Yeah,
and you're figuring it out then. So we met you because 3 years ago my son was interning here, and he followed the NFL. I do too. Yeah. But he was following the tweets about us, and you tweeted about our book, The Advantage.
Right.
And my son came into the room and said, Justin Forsett just tweeted about us. And the women in my office were like, who's Justin Forsett? We're like, what do you mean? And so you happen to be local, training, visiting with folks. And so you came and visited us.
Yep.
And we've been friends ever since.
Yes.
And so now I want to talk to you about, you are running an organization now, a company.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of things going on. Let's talk about your business, first of all. Where did you come up with the idea for the business?
So in the locker room, it was a place where there's a lot of athletes, a lot of sweating going on, a lot of smells going on throughout the day inside the locker room, and guys working out, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. And for us, it was a hygiene problem. Like, we couldn't practice good hygiene as much as we wanted to throughout the day. And there was a joke in the locker room called shower pill, which meant that there's pills for everything, but no pills for a shower.
So you could just pop a pill and you'd be showered.
Yeah, exactly. So they came up with a shower pill. So we actually wanted to find a solution for that. And we created a disposable washcloth, antibacterial towelette that removes sweat, dirt, and body odor inside the locker room for you to be able to wipe down, practice good hygiene throughout the day when a shower was optimal but not possible.
But this isn't like you guys just went out. You had to figure out, get FDA approval.
Yes.
You had to find out manufacturing, distribution.
Yes.
All the, what prepared you to do all that stuff? That's overwhelming for most people.
Yeah. It's just a lot of will and want to try to figure this thing out. Google was our best friend trying to build this thing. And who do we talk to? Who's the best manufacturer, who's the distributors out there, how we can make this business grow. But I had no background. My dad, we owned a restaurant for a long time, but I had no background like in consumer product goods, packaging, or anything like that, retail space. That was all foreign to me. So it was all just trying to learn and grow and figure this thing out.
That's fantastic. I've used the product. Yeah. I've given it to others. It's fantastic for athletes. It's fantastic for firefighters, campers, sportsmen and women, homeless people.
Homeless, yep.
Soldiers, anybody that would like to get the benefits of a shower in a way that's healthy for you and get clean and feel clean. They don't have access to a shower or the time for it.
Yep. That's what shower pill is here for.
That's a wonderful thing. Okay. So you started this though, not just on your own. You had a couple partners,
right?
And where did you meet these guys?
So we're all teammates at UC Berkeley, right up the road.
So you played football together in college.
Yes.
Now, these guys didn't go on and play in the pros, right?
One of them did.
Oh, one of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But not quite as long as you did.
No. He was a practice squad for 2 years with the Bills.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys knew how to be football players together. What's the difference between being on a team as football players and then going into business together?
Oh, man.
I know there's a lot.
There's a lot of similarities. But the difference with being in the business world on a team is that work ethic alone will not get you by.
Okay.
Like, so a lot of times during my career, like, I can outwork anybody just by going out hustle and just, you know, just sweating, just grinding it out. Like, people showing my skill set. Like, if I got a handoff, you know, a routine handoff in practice, you normally go 20 yards. I'm gonna go 70 yards because I want to set the tone and let you know who I am. And they love that. Like, I made people better around me. That was cool. That was something that I could control.
Were you always like that?
I was always like that.
The guy that would run downfield 50 yards after they got it. That's awesome.
Yes, because I knew there were so-called limitations with me. I was a short guy. You know, I was not the fastest, the strongest, whatnot. So there was always things that I had to do extra. And that was one of those things so I can, you know, exude my effort. But when you're in business, effort alone will not get it done. So you can't just say, brute force is just going to just make this thing happen. You got to be strategic. You got to be cerebral. You got to sit down and say, okay, I got to think this thing through because I just can't just try to run through this wall and hope that on the other side it's going to be what we need it to be.
You know, we find that's so true. And some people think, well, I'm just going to outwork everybody. And sometimes you can drive your train so fast and drive it right off a cliff.
Yes, exactly.
So, and you can't do that in that. So that's an adjustment. How did you, I mean, I've known you just for these last 3 years and I've watched you learn so much. I mean, and so tell me, where does that curiosity and that drive come from for you?
Man, I sincerely desire to make the most out of this life that God has given me. Like, I want to be the best. Like, my whole career, I was not interested in only being an all-pro running back. I want to be an all-pro father. I want to be an all-pro husband. I want to be an all-pro businessman.
That's beautiful.
So I'm on this pursuit to be great. Anything that has been given to me in my hand. Like, I'm a businessman. I'm a speaker now. Like, I want to be great at those things, and to be average or mediocre at it, it's just not something that I'm interested in. It's not something that drives me. So I want to learn. I know there's a lot that I don't know. So I'm constantly trying to learn, be around people that know more than me, that have wisdom, that I can just be a sponge to. And so I just been constantly learning, whether that's, you know, spending extra time in school, finishing up Harvard Business School at the top of this year, the executive program, having mentors that are in the space, entrepreneurs, just constantly just putting myself around people that are smarter than myself.
That's fantastic. And the other thing I will say to know you, you're not trying to draw attention to yourself. You're just learning.
No.
You know, this isn't about like, look at me, look at me.
No.
Most people, you walk into our office, people don't understand what you've done before. And you're just right. Like, hey, I'm just here to learn. And you treat everybody the same.
Yeah, man. That's the mentality. Just be humble. If you're not humble, you will be humbled at some point. So that's the way I treated my career. I wasn't one of those rah-rah guys that was like chasing for the spotlight. I wanted to be great at what I was doing. But, you know, the limelight stuff is like, that'll come. Like, I was just more interested in being respected by my peers than
that's
being,
wonderful. You know. So what's it like working on, so the day to day of working with a person shoulder to shoulder, figuring out these cerebral things and trying to make a business work. So tell me about what sports helped prepare you for and what you weren't ready for, other than the fact that it's a little more cerebral. You just can't outwork it. What about the dynamics?
Yeah, for us, it's a lot difficult because I'm in Dallas and my partners are in California. So
you have a virtual team
and we meet up ever so often, but it's tough. Communication is key, you know, and being intentional about that communication, like being in sports, like I have to know as a running back when my offensive line and when my quarterback changes the protection on the fly. If there's a blitzer that's coming and he changes it, I have to understand. I have to see the signal, and I have to sometimes share with my fullback because sometimes we're in environments that's loud and hostile, and communication is at an utmost important. So just like that, in the entrepreneur world, in the business world, sometimes you're in a hostile environment. Sometimes things are hectic and not where you want it to be. And you have to be more intentional about communication. And that's what we try to do.
And you have to be accountable to one another. Yeah. And when you played football and somebody let you down, what'd you do?
Well, for football, I mean, you're in a setting where, for me, that was like a free space where everybody gets accountability. Like,
right.
It's very, you know, open and transparent. You get to watch tape and you're like, okay, we saw this guy mess up and we know.
You can't,
like,
really, you can't hide. Explain that away.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you messed up. So it's like right on the spot accountability.
One of the beautiful things about sports, there's a score, there's clear rules and there's visuals of what happened.
Right.
What about in work?
In work, not so much.
Yeah.
You know, especially with virtual, you know, kind of you can get caught up in silos. You can, some people doing their own things. And that's kind of what we have to work. We had to work through, because it's really tough when you're apart and you're working away and, you know, there's really no tape or footage to go off of. And then when you're working with friends and, you know, it's hard to really like, okay, our friends, I love them and you don't want to hurt their feelings, step on their toes, you know. And you got to get over that quickly.
Yeah.
Because that can be a detriment to the business. You know,
yeah.
Conflict is good, is what I learned from.
Yes, it
someone.
Is. Yeah. There's a book out there about that, yeah. I think. So now tell us about your business, where you're headed from here. Like you've got, you're doing all kinds of things. You're at that incubator that you're out there or learning from, what do you call it?
Accelerator program.
The accelerator program, which is fantastic. And so people can buy your stuff at Target.
Yep.
Targets all carry your stuff.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
AFEES, which is Army Air Force Exchange Stores, will be here in a couple of weeks.
Terrific.
We got a few more mass retailers coming up, especially stores around the country like Pharmaca, Roadrunner Sports, things like that, little specialty stores.
Fantastic. Okay. So how are you spending your time? How do you, you know, when you're in the NFL, they tell you, here's when training camp starts, here's where we got to be for OTAs and everything else. Now you have to decide all this stuff.
Yeah.
How do you decide how to spend your precious time on unlimited demand? You could be out there every single day. Yeah. So how are you making those decisions?
Well, as the CEO of the company, I'm in charge. My role is business development. I handle some of those partnerships, whether it's retail or whatnot, and see where we can grow and scale the business. And raising capital is, you know, making sure we have the lights on. So that's kind of one of my big roles. So I'm out traveling and, you know, I have a great team to kind of help me along the way to where I can't, you know, physically be there and do things for the business while I'm out, you know, trying to help the business grow in other areas. But yeah, that's kind of how I split it up right now.
How do you, let me ask you a question. A lot of people listening probably have the same thing. How do you do that balancing family life?
Oh man.
Tell me about the teamwork with your wife.
So one, I have an excellent wife. She's a super, super mom, super wife. She holds it down. She was an athlete. So she kind of gets the lifestyle that we're in right now.
Right.
But prioritizing the time when I'm there. So even though I can work out at home, I may not be at home, but when I'm shutting down work and I'm with the wife and kids, like I'm with the wife and kids. Like,
yeah.
I'm present there with them. And one thing that drives me is that I'm never going to let another man or individual teach my kids something that I should be teaching them.
Yeah.
Like throwing a football, things like those experiences that I want to walk with my kids through.
And yes.
I didn't work as hard as I did to get to a point where I'm not in their lives. So
yeah.
When after work is done, I'm at football practice. I'm coaching my son up, or we're at piano practice. And then when that's done, they're going to bed. I'm helping my wife wash the dishes, you know, in the kitchen.
Beautiful.
I'm not as doing as often as I could, but anytime where I can insert myself to help her, I got to do my part in that teamwork, in that team as well.
What's the advice you give to a young person or anybody who's thinking about starting a business? Leadership, teamwork, hard work. If you could tell them one or two things, what would you say? I mean, you've had so many things you've already told us, but if you had to net it out and say.
Well, this is something I talk about in my keynotes, is that adversity is inevitable. Like, it's going to come.
Right.
If you're running a business, you're trying to achieve anything of success or of greatness, adversity is coming. And what I tell people is embrace those times, because I believe greatness grows best in the shadows. So, and what I mean by that is that we don't get our greatest gains in life when we're at the top of the mountain, when the light's shining bright on us, spotlight's on us. But those times when we're constantly being pulled and stretched and we're going through adversity and we have to dig down deep within ourselves and pull out things that we didn't even know existed in us. And the only way we would be able to expose those things is through tension. It's through stretching and pruning. So,
and most people want to run from those things.
Run for that. But in those moments, you dig deep, because those things will keep you until you get your breakthrough. And then the other thing would be excel at what you can control. There's a lot of things in this life that are out of our control. You can't control how people think about you, feel about you. Sometimes you can't even control your role in your work or your team. You probably want more for yourself, but the only thing you can't control is your attitude, your effort, and your preparation. So excel at those things.
That's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to check out this product, Shower Pill.
Yep.
You're going to be going through a rebranding, but now it's Shower Pill.
Yeah,
this
Shower
is exciting.
Right now, yep.
And you can find them at Target and all those other stores. Go online, check out Justin. Justin Forsett also speaks, which is fantastic. Yeah. We love that. He is the real deal. This is a really fun thing for us to talk about. We're going to be with you along the way. We like to be informal partners of yours.
Yeah.
Anytime you need help, Cody and I love to dive in. I appreciate you being on the show. We'll have you again. We'll do a little update on what's going on in the business and any lessons you've got to teach our folks.
I would love that. Thank you.
All right.
Pat.
Well, God bless you. We're going to keep the show going in a few minutes, but right now you got a meeting to go to, don't you?
Yes, I do. Always.
God bless you. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you.
All right. We just put Justin Forsett in an Uber car for his other meeting in Oakland. And Cody, you and I are sitting here reflecting on this.
Yeah,
really,
that was
enjoyed.
A great conversation. I love just being a fly on the wall there. That was amazing. It's so fun to have Justin here. And so many things that he said that apply. I mean, not just...
Right. We didn't prep for that either.
No, no. And just an interview, but some of the stuff that he talked about, I think is totally worth debriefing in the context of what we, you know, at the table and organizational culture and leadership and all of that. One of the things that stood out to me that I thought was so fascinating is when he was talking about the coaches that he played for and the ones that invested in him as a person, like Tony Dungy and, and the Ravens, a whole staff. And he talked about, I didn't want any scrutiny to come against my coaches because we failed on the field.
Yeah. And what is it like? I mean, imagine what that's like for the leaders too, to know that your people have your back.
Yeah.
I was just this week, Cody, you know, I was down south for a church conference where we had, gosh, almost how many teams did we have there? Like 200 pastors and their teams. And we had these pastors get up and say, I had to fire somebody. One guy said, I had to fire a nun. A beloved nun who was actually dysfunctional and creating problems in the parish. And he loved her through it and he tried to do it. But he goes, normally I tolerated her behavior for 4 years. I finally let her go. And the only reason I was willing to do it was because I had a team now around me. He just put together a team and they supported me and had my back. Mm-hmm. And they kept him from doing stupid things to try to over-explain what he did. And they supported him when people criticized him. And when you know, whether you're a football coach or whether you're a CEO or the pastor of a church or the principal of a school, that the people on your team have your back, you have the courage to do hard things that if you're on your own, you're probably not going to do.
Well, and it's creating that culture that people care about each other. He mentioned so many things that we've touched on, including...
That I want to talk about. That was amazing.
I know. Well, and even the way that he described the interest that they took in them, it totally aligns with our employee engagement where we talked about
crazy.
Like anonymity. When you know someone and you take an interest in them and he's like, they cared about me as a human being, as a man, that changes how you feel about your job.
Totally.
He literally had 7 different jobs in the same industry in 9 years. And he can point to one or two leaders and one or two cultures that says, this made all the difference to me.
Yeah. Isn't it? And it's that simple stuff. And it's so easy to think. I mean, like this morning I have a guilty pleasure and I listened to this podcast about fantasy football.
Even though you did an I Hate Fantasy Football podcast. Yeah.
And I don't participate in fantasy football. And frankly, one of the reasons why I listen to it is because I don't know how to download one that's about regular football.
I'll help you with that.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. But so I'm listening to them talk and everybody's got all these angles on things about this player and this offense and all this stuff. We really do love the smart stuff. And it comes down to the simple stuff. They pour into him as a human being. Mm-hmm. As a result, he's more loyal to them, works harder, invest in one another. And like the Ravens this year, I have to tell you, at the beginning of the year, when you looked at their talent, I was like, they lost a bunch of guys. And I was like, they're probably not going to be very good. And then it's like, of course they're going to be good. Their culture is so strong.
Well, and he said that at the very beginning. He said, when I came to the Ravens, they had a codified, galvanized culture. And either you adapt or you leave.
Right.
And all it seemed like some of the other experiences he had were just a collection of players that they had acquired from other teams or drafted.
Everybody got treated a little differently depending on who you were.
And that's, I think, the takeaway from a lot of this is why we love talking about sports and business, because this microcosm of creating a culture in sports and whether you win or lose is directly related to how clear that culture is and how much people buy into it and the camaraderie and chemistry that you develop and the trust. And this is just another example of how that resonates over and over and over again.
It's the same in a startup. It's the same in a big company. And yet it's so easy. And I don't know that the Wall Street Journal or the Harvard Business Review or people that live on Wall Street will ever quite understand it. It's that slightly intangible but completely real element that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else was so fun too is that you and I have been in the room with Shower Pills, founders.
Yeah, we've done offsites with them and worked with them.
And it's so interesting to hear him reflect on his transition from sports to running a business and as an observer to look at, the ways that their team, they have 3 football players who are so used to, I'm a running back or I have this.
Their roles are super clear.
And then they have these messy roles in the startup and they're trying to define like who does what and who's good at what. And that alone, just that, taking some of the discipline that they learned and applying it to business was just fun to see them translate that.
I know it. And we don't even get to think about this or debrief this, but right now, as I'm thinking about this, running a business is harder than running a football team because the rules are not as clear, the positions are not as defined, which means if you're running a business, you want to clarify as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Because the more people understand what their responsibilities are and how they fit together and the clearer they are about the culture, then it can run much more like a sports team. It still will never be as clean, but when you go into an organization and nobody knows what's going on, which is all too common, you're through.
Well, and you say all the time that there needs to be the CEO is the chief reminding officer. And that once you have clarity, you have to keep repeating it. And so it's not enough to just have the answers to those questions or to you know, have codified it on a sheet or painted it on your wall. It's like you have to over and over again go out and hire people that fit into that. Yeah. Tell it over and over every time you're up front in front of your employees to continue to remind them that this is how we operate as a business. And that's one thing that I think that sports organizations probably have a head up or a
Leg up.
Yeah, a leg up.
Head up.
we invent a lot of sayings here on the show.
It's in real time, ladies and gentlemen. There's no editing here.
But they, you know, they give halftime speeches. They have locker room speeches that they're constantly reinforcing those messages.
Yeah, it's built in.
And so many companies need to think of it that way.
Yeah. It's so true. You know, I was just thinking that they should really call the leader of an organization the CXO. And the CXO should have different titles. They have to be the chief leadership officer for sure. They should be the chief teamwork officer at the top. They need to be the chief clarity officer and the chief reminding officer. Mm-hmm. They can outsource strategy and marketing and all those other things. They can share those responsibilities. But when it comes to leadership, teamwork, clarity, and reminding people, if they're not at the tip of that spear, it's not going to happen.
You're absolutely right. There's no substitute for that.
Right. I find that most CEOs, big or small company, any kind of organization, they see themselves as the chief blank officer. And it really depends on what they like doing. Hmm. They define it, I'm the chief. They don't even call themselves that, but really I think I'm the chief marketing officer because actually I came from marketing. It's like, no, it doesn't matter where you came from. It's just like if you're the head coach of a football team and you were running back when you played, you shouldn't be the chief running back officer.
Right.
But a lot of times they will. They'll say, well, I was the offensive coordinator, so I'm going to be the coach, but I'm going to do offense. It's like, no, you need to hire an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, and you need to be the head coach. And if you don't want to do that, don't take that job.
Yeah. And that's something I hear you repeat over and over again. It's like, there are a number of responsibilities that the CEO cannot delegate.
Yep.
And you should, as a CEO, do the things that only you can do.
Yeah.
And everything else is fine. It's fine to delegate.
And just as I sit here, leadership, teamwork, clarity, and reminding people are certainly four critical ones. You can't delegate those things.
Great.
Wow. This is fun talking about this. You know, Cody, I enjoy when we just kind of debrief on the fly. You and I were going to chart out like, well, what should we talk about? And I said, let's just do this in real time. I hope that works for our audience members too.
I think it will. And Justin's stuff was great. Those last two tips that he left people with, just unbelievable. He's got a great message and I hope people enjoyed the conversation and get to try out Shower Pill and hopefully company continues.
That'll be our commercial again, Shower Pill. Hey, support these guys. It's a great product. You like using it. You like giving it to people. My son, who's in high school, he puts together these packages and the Shower Pill is in it. We give it to homeless people because you're like, I want to give money, but what are they going to give? Shower Pill, they love it. That's a shower right there. You're handing them a dollar. Costs a dollar.
I keep those in my car. I love when he brings them by.
Awesome. All right. Well, we want to thank you for listening in with us and we hope to hear you or see you again soon. Until then, God bless. Take care.